Well, this morning we are in week two of our series that we've called Once Upon a Time. And if you were here last week for the beginning of it, I explained that the reason we're calling it Once Upon a Time is not because we think that the Bible is a fairy tale or it's a once upon a time kind of a story, although some people in our culture might say that. Actually, as I said last week, the Bible is actually a collection of ancient manuscripts and ancient documents, and there is a great historical evidence and validity to those documents. And so if you never have to be worried about the validity of the Bible as we have it. So that's not the reason we call it Once Upon a Time. Rather, it's because when Jesus was here on earth and was teaching, much of his teaching took the form of stories. And so over the next few weeks, we're going to be looking at some of those stories that Jesus told. And so hence the name of the series, Once Upon a Time. Now, the stories that Jesus told, the Bible word for those stories is called parables. We don't use that word much except for in church. And so if you weren't brought up in church, a parable is kind of an earthly story with, those of you who grew up in Sunday school, what? A heavenly meaning. That's right. That was always the definition, an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. The word parable means to kind of cast down alongside, so that there's one meaning cast down alongside another meaning. The Hebrew word for parable has to do with the idea of a riddle or a mystery, something that has to be kind of looked at and thought about in order to understand. And that's the same way with Jesus' parables. He tells a story that everybody can relate to, but then he throws down alongside of that a spiritual meaning that sometimes you have to think about and try to understand. Most of Jesus' parables were told to help explain the nature of his kingdom. In fact, as we talked about last week, almost all of the parables, not all of them, but almost all of them start out this way. The kingdom of heaven is like, or the kingdom of God is like. That's how he would start his parables. And he would begin to teach about what the kingdom was about. Last week we learned that the kingdom, his kingdom, was of incredible worth. In fact, I asked this question over and over, of which kingdom do you place more worth, the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of earth? And the parables, the stories that Jesus told last week that we looked at, showed us and told us and taught us that we should place his kingdom and assign to it more worth than anything else, because it is in fact worth everything. Well, the question that Jesus is going to try to help us answer today, or the thing about his kingdom that he's going to help us understand today, it kind of answers this question. What does it mean to be a Christian? Have you ever thought about that? What does it mean to be a Christian? Or to put it in his terms, what would it mean to be a citizen of his kingdom? What does that look like? Now, preachers count, there's about 600 of us here today. And if I were to ask you that, we'd probably get about 600 different answers, right? If we just went down the row of what does it mean to be a Christian, or what does it mean to be a part of God's kingdom? We'd probably get as many different answers as there are. But think about that. What does it mean to be a Christian? What's the distinguishing characteristics? Is it just what people say? Is it what people believe? Is it what people say they believe? Or is it what people actually do? What is it that distinguishes between someone who is in God's kingdom or who is not in God's kingdom? I think about this all the time when, you know, maybe a well-known politician or something will proclaim to be a Christian, and then you look at what they actually do or the policies that they're for, and you think, oh, I'm not sure how that balances out. So what does it mean? How do we determine who is a part of God's kingdom and who is not a part of God's kingdom? All the statistics and polls for a long time say that over 70% of people in America self-identify as Christians. But it doesn't take too much of a look into the culture and into our country to see that that doesn't really wash. It doesn't make sense, because if we look, we don't really see 70% of the people making a spiritual impact positively in the world. And so, again, what does it mean to be a part of God's kingdom? Is it just what you say? Is it what you believe? Is it what you do? Jesus actually told us a story that kind of helps us understand why it is, or how it could be, that so many people have been heard about the kingdom of heaven, have heard, they've been exposed to the truth of God's word, but yet lead unfruitful or unproductive lives in a spiritual sense. We're going to be looking in the book of Matthew. So if you've got your Bibles, turn to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13 is where we find this account for today. It begins this way. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop, 160 or 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let him hear. Now, anybody farmers here? Any farmers out there? Gardeners, green thumbers? Any green thumb people? Let's see your thumbs. No? Three of you? Okay, thank you. We all appreciate eating because of you. Thank you for that. Now, I've told you before that I grew up not on a farm, but out in the country, and my family had a large garden. And I was kind of the indentured servant in that garden. And I absolutely hated being in that garden all summer long out there planting and weeding and then, you know, digging things up and picking things and all the stuff that had to be done in a garden. I hated it. My wife, on the other hand, grew up in town, not in a big city, but in town, didn't have, her family didn't have a garden. So what she wanted to do all her life, you know, was, ever she got the chance, was to grow a garden. And so we got married. She wanted to grow a garden and I didn't. So we grew a garden, right? You understand how that works, right? And you've heard me tell about that before. But whether or not you have a green thumb, you like gardening, you're a farmer, the story that Jesus tells here is very easy to understand at first glance. In fact, the people that he originally told it to would all have understood because all of them were, it was a very agricultural society, all of them either were farmers, grew food for their family, or for sure someone in their family did. And so he said, it's like this. And you know, the crowds were gathered around. It says Jesus got in a boat so he could kind of teach to the multitudes. And he says, it's like this. There was a farmer out sowing seed. Right? And that, in those days, they didn't have, you know, planters, that machines. They just had a bag of seed and they would, you know, sow it, cast it out like this. And Jesus said, there's a farmer sowing seed. And they're all shaking their heads. Like, yeah, we know that. We've done that before. Some of the seed, he said, fell on the path. And it was hard there on the path, so the birds came and ate it. And they're all nodding their heads like, yeah, we understand. Because beside all the farmland, people wouldn't walk through the farmland. They'd walk beside it. And so all the people traffic and all the animal traffic would beat those paths hard. And so nothing, it would be just like concrete almost. And so seed couldn't get down in that. The birds would come and eat it. They'd all seen that happen. They're all shaking their head. You're like, yep, that makes sense. I've seen that happen before. It happened to me before. And he says there's a second kind of seed that happens. He says some of the seed got put out onto the rocky soil, right? And that sprung up quickly because there was just a little bit of soil and it was warm. The rocks made it warm. But then when the sun came out, it scorched it because the seed didn't have any root. And maybe you've had that experience. I don't know if you've ever been to Israel, but I'm told that it's very rocky terrain, very limestone oriented, much like around here. In fact, the house that we lived in Shelbyville before we moved here, it was very much like that. Not limestone, but just rocky. To look at it, everything looked fine. Grass would grow and it was nice and green. But if you took your shovel and started to dig, you didn't have to go down but about an inch and you would hit rock. And it was incredibly difficult to try to get anything to grow. Well, because we like to garden, we had to build little garden boxes, right? So wooden boxes that we had to put dirt in because there was no dirt because it was rocky, right? So we had to put dirt in there. And that leads us to the next kind of soil, the next thing that happened to the seed that Jesus talked about. He said some seed fell on the thorny soil, right? But because of the weeds and the thorns that are in there, it choked out the life in there. Now, back to our little garden bed, all right, because the soil was too rocky, we thought, well, we need to put our dirt in there and we need to put some fertilizer in there. Well, we had a friend who had a friend that told us that we could get some organic fertilizer, right? You know what organic fertilizer is, right? It's pretty much straight out of the cow, okay? So these people had a lot of cows, and so like all winter long, the fertilizer would accumulate, and then in the spring they would want to get rid of the fertilizer, and so you could get it for free, right? So I went with the shovel, and actually he, with his backhoe, put a load into my truck, fertilizer, right? So I take it home, and we put it, spread it very thick, you know, all over the garden beds, and we planted our seeds, and what came up? everything that that cow had eaten in the last season, right? Because organic fertilizer has whatever that cow ate, that's what comes out. And there were seeds. And so all kinds of weeds and plants and all kinds of things came up. Not what we planted, but what the cow planted on our behalf. All right. And Jesus said that's how some of the seed that the farmer sowed, it came up among all the other things, choked it out. He said, but some other seed fell upon good soil, which produced a crop. Some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. In fact, that's why we get to eat, because some of the seed falls in good ground and it produces a crop. And everybody's shaking their head, and that makes sense because they all understood that kind of analogy. Most of them were farmers. If they weren't farmers, they knew a farmer. And so it all made sense. But remember, parables are one story or one meaning cast down alongside of another meaning. And so when we look further to see what the parable actually means, this is one of the very few times that Jesus actually explained it for us. Most of his parables, he just kind of told the story and then went on and told another story or went on to something else. This is one of the very few that he explained for us. And so as he explains it and we look further in what the scripture says, try to find where you are in the story, because that's one of the important things about parables. You, we are all somewhere in each of the stories, and we have to find out where we are. Here's the second part as Jesus explained what it meant. Jesus said, listen to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop, yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. All right, so Jesus is explaining. In fact, if you look at the verses that we skipped, as soon as he told this parable, it says that his disciples came to him and said, dude, what's up? Why do you always tell these stories? Nobody understands these stories. Can you explain these stories to us? All right. And it says Jesus came, went from talking to the crowds, then he went back into the house and talked to his disciples and explained to them what he meant. And this was his explanation. He says, the seed is the word of God. Right? It's the message of the kingdom. It's the message about me, he would say, the message about Jesus. That's the seed that the farmer, or in this case Jesus, or whoever is teaching about the kingdom is spreading. Okay, so the seed is the message about Jesus. And then he says there's four different kinds of people or heart type that correspond to the four different kinds of soil. And as you're filling your notes, the first one he says is this. The pathway soil corresponds to a hard heart. All right, listen to what he says. When anyone hears the message, verse 19, about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. Jesus says if the seed is sown, the message of God's kingdom is sown, and someone doesn't understand it, and the word there kind of calls to mind not sinking in. All right, if the message doesn't sink in for whatever reason. Just like the path, the seed cast along the path was hard because it had been packed down and trampled on. It wasn't able to penetrate. It wasn't able to sink in. Jesus said, some hearts are like that. Some people are like that. The message is cast out there, but the message is not able to sink in. Well, why would that be the case? What would cause someone to be unreceptive or hardened toward the gospel? Well, just as the path alongside the farm or the field is hardened because of traffic, I think a lot of times people are just hardened because they've been stepped on. Okay, they've been walked on. They've been trampled on. Maybe you are here this morning and when you were younger, you were at a church and you were just hurt by people. Maybe you were hurt by people who claimed to be Christians. Maybe you were hurt by the church. Maybe you prayed a prayer to God and he didn't answer it the way you thought that he should. And you kind of had this thing against God. And so you've been hurt because of things. Or maybe you just heard too much. You've heard too many late night TV preachers and it all just sounds like a bunch of hokum to you. And it sounds like just one more sales pitch. And so every time you come to church just to make your mama or your wife or somebody happy, you just know that the preacher, it's just one more sales pitch. He's just one more con man just trying to get you to put money in the offering plate or whatever. And you're hardened against the message. Maybe because of some past experience, maybe because how people have talked to you about God or not talked to you about God. You've been disappointed, stepped on in life, you're cynical, bitter about things that have happened, and you don't allow it to sink in and penetrate. Other times the Bible says other things that cause us to be hardened toward the Bible is just sin. If we have sin in our life and allow it to build up, it says that it calluses our heart. It hardens our heart. So that if we have just ongoing sin of any kind in our life, the Bible says that will cause our heart to be hardened and reject the teaching of the Word about Jesus. So some people here today and some people in Jesus' audience were similar to the seed that was sown onto the pathway, and you have a hard, unreceptive heart, maybe because of something that someone else did to you, maybe because of something that you did, but your heart is hard toward the Word. A second kind of heart or kind of person that is corresponded to here, Jesus says the rocky soil corresponds with someone with a shallow or an ungrounded heart, a shallow or an ungrounded heart. Look at what he says in verses 20 through 21. The seed falling on rocky ground refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy, but since they have no root, they only last a short time. When trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they fall away quickly. Jesus says, there's some people who they hear the word for the first time, and just like a seed will sprout very quickly in that shallow, warm soil, they sprout up and they get excited. And churches are full of these kinds of people. You can talk to people on staff at any church, anywhere. I've been everywhere, every church I've been at has been like this. Someone will come and they'll accept Christ and they'll get all excited. They'll come and be a part of the church and they'll be kind of a part of everything. And you'll see them all the time, everywhere. And then about 6 months later, you look around and you sit around in a staff meeting and you say, well, what happened to such and such? And they go, I don't know. He was so involved, and then all of a sudden, they just disappeared. They kind of caught on like fire, and then what happened? And they just don't stick around for whatever reason. It's kind of like the little boy who his dad tucked him into the bed and went back downstairs, and a few minutes later heard a big thump. And he comes upstairs to find that his son has fallen out of the bed. He says, son, what's wrong? Why did you fall out of the bed? And the little boy said, I guess I just stayed too close to where I got in. And that's the same way a lot of people do with their Christian faith. They stay too close to where they got in. They hear just enough to be excited about it, but they don't go any further. And maybe they didn't get the full picture of what the gospel was about, what God's kingdom was all about. As I talked about last week, sometimes preachers are guilty of that. We kind of give all the positives and say, hey, God will make your life great and everything will be wonderful. And then they accept Christ and guess what? Their life, it might be good for a little bit because they're so excited about it, but then what happens? Life happens and they realize that life isn't perfect. Their life wasn't perfect before and guess what? It's still not. Bad things happened before and guess what? They still do. And so they get disillusioned and they think, well, that's not really what I signed up for, because maybe they didn't know going in for sure what they were getting into. The Bible says they don't last because they can't have any root, right? They don't sink their roots in, and so that they fall away. It says that they fall away when trouble or persecution comes because of the word. And as we said before, sometimes becoming a Christian, sometimes being a part of the kingdom, sometimes accepting the seed of God's word will actually make your life worse for the time being in the short term. Maybe your whole life here, but the promise is that it will make it better eternally in heaven if that's the case. And it will make it better internally even during the midst of the turmoil externally, but sometimes for new folks that's harder to understand and to process if they don't have those roots put in. He said that people fall away when trouble or persecution comes. Now let me ask you a question. For those of us who live in America, that's most all of us here, would you say that over the next few years that there would be more trouble and persecution that would come because of being a Christian or less? Probably more, right? I would agree with you. There would be more. Now, the reality is, trouble and persecution has always been a part of being a Christian. It's always been a part of being in God's kingdom. Okay, it always has. It's why Jesus talked about it a lot. The writers of the New Testament talked about it. I mean, think about it. In the first century, when the church was just starting, okay, the church was incredibly persecuted. First by the Jews who didn't believe what they believed and had the power to do something about it. Then the Romans, right? And you've all probably read stories about the Roman emperors and the incredibly horrible things they did to Christians. You know about the Colosseum and fighting the lions. Maybe you've known, you know, they dipped them into tar and set them on fire and so they could be like the street lamps, all right? All kinds of incredibly terrible things that came along with being a Christian in the first century and shortly thereafter. But you know that in the 19th century, there were more Christian martyrs than there were in the 1800 years before that in the history of the church. More people in the last 100 years were killed for their faith than all the rest of the history of the church combined. And I believe that this century is well on its way to surpassing even that. The reality is Jesus is warning us that, hey, persecution is coming. And if you're not grounded in the things of the Word, if you just have a superficial understanding, it's not going to last. You're not going to be able to withstand the stuff that's coming. Christians in the Middle East now, do you think they can withstand the stuff that they have to do with just a shallow interpretation and understanding of the Word? Their roots have to be deep into the love and the grace and the Word of God. Jesus said, some are like rocky soil, though. They stay too close to where they got in. They don't have their roots go down, and they fall away because of that. The third kind of people, he said, that corresponds with the kind of soil is that the thorny soil that he talked about corresponds to people with a cluttered or a divided heart. A cluttered or a divided heart. Verse 22 says, the seed falling among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, making it unfruitful. He said, those people hear the word, but they allow the worries, and he mentions two things here, the worries of this life, the deceitfulness of wealth. All right, that covers a lot of territory, those two things right there. He said these two things clutter out and get in the way and choke out the life of the gospel for a lot of people. The worries of this life, well, what are those? Anybody got any worries? Do they have to do with life? Well, that's what they are, all right? I don't have to explain that. We all understand the worries of this life. It's our job, it's our kids, it's our family, it's our marriage, it's our finances, it's everything. And he says another thing is the deceitfulness of wealth. We spent 4 weeks back in November talking about that, how wealth is so deceitful and how it promises things that it can't provide. And so he said that's another thing that clutters and gets people confused and takes resources and time and energy away from the plant, the seed of the faith. Here's one thing I've noticed when it comes to gardening, and you know how much I like gardening, but weeds, they don't require any effort to come up. Have you noticed that? Like, you don't have to do anything special to get those weeds to come up, right? You don't have to, like, plant them, right? They just come. You don't have to water them. They seem to do fine even when nothing else will grow in the drought. You don't have to fertilize them. You don't have to do anything. Those weeds and those thorns, they just come, don't they? And that's how the worries of this, the life are, the deceitfulness of riches, that's how that kind of stuff happens too. I mean, nobody ever gets up in the morning and says, I think I'm going to worry about life today, right? I think I'm going to do everything I can to be deceived by riches today. Right? We don't say that, right? But what happens? We get up and life happens and we get worried about things because there's family stuff to deal with. There's financial stuff to deal with. There's kids and there's job and there's all these things that put pressure on us. We don't try to make them come. We don't cultivate them. They just happen. And Jesus says those things that just happen will, if you're not careful, they will choke out the life of the word that's been planted within you, the life of his kingdom that's within you. He said the seed in the thorny soil, it grew at first, but then it was choked out and killed out by the thorns and the weeds. The fourth kind of soil that Jesus said, and its corresponding heart property, is that the good soil represents a fruitful heart, or a fruitful life. He says, but the seed falling on the good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 100, 60, or 30 times what was sown. He said, the good soil produces fruit. If you truly understand, if you're a part of my kingdom, you will produce fruit. All right? And the question is, well, what kind of fruit? What's he talking about? What does it mean, a life that produces fruit? Well, if you've been around church very often or read through the Bible, you know that in Galatians chapter 5, there's actually a list of things that's called the fruit of the Spirit. Things that if you are a part of God's kingdom and your soil is good, then these are the kinds of fruit that will come. And I think they're going to pop up on the screen there. It's things like love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. All those things are things that just naturally grow within you if you're a part of God's kingdom. If you have good soil in your heart, the seed of God's kingdom is planted there. Those are the kinds of things that grow. That's the internal fruit that is produced in our lives. The Bible also talks about external fruit that is produced in our life. Farmers know this. The only good yield is to get more of the same thing, right? You plant a kernel of corn, and what do you get? More corn, right? That's the whole intent. That's the purpose. That's the goal. And so Jesus says when his seed gets put out there and it takes root and it grows, the thing that that seed produces is more of the same, more seeds, all right? So that Christians produce other Christians, right? We get the seed sown in us and then we in turn sow it in other people and more Christians are produced. And so here's a question that's interesting to ask and to think about. What's your spiritual footprint? In other words, who knows about Jesus because of you and because of your life and your witness and your testimony and how you go about things? See, this parable teaches us, I think, that fruit and bearing fruit is pretty important in the life of the kingdom of God. In fact, we've got to expect that kind of transformation. Jesus says if you are in healthy soil, if your heart is healthy and it responds to the kingdom, fruit will be produced. The problem is sometimes we don't expect change though. And don't point at anybody, all right, because that's rude. But we all know people who have been in church a long time maybe, but they're just as mean and ornery and no account as they were 30 years ago. Right? Shake your head if you know somebody like this. All right? Again, don't point because that's mean. All right? But what do we say? We say, oh, that's just Mr. Johnson. What do we say? That's just how he is. Or that's just Betsy. That's just how she is. Because we don't even expect people to change. We don't expect fruit to be shown in people's life. But Jesus actually paints a totally different picture of the kingdom. He says, no, you should expect fruit to happen, because that's what happens in healthy soil. If things are growing, if the kingdom is alive, it will, in fact, produce fruit. In another parable that Jesus told, he put a pretty sharp point on this, and it seemed like there was kind of a time limit involved in this whole idea of giving fruit. Look at, it'll be on the screen, Luke chapter 13, verses 6 through 9. Jesus told lots of parables, told lots of stories about how things grew and fruit. And this is another one. He told this parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit, but did not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, for 3 years now I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Why should it use up the soil? Sir, the man replied, leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down. It seems to be that Jesus is making it clear as you can make it, that there's kind of a time limit. Almost all of the stories that Jesus tells talks about a time of judgment, a time of accounting. The homeowner comes back, the landowner comes back, and the people who you gave things to has to give an account. Kevin's going to talk about that next week. He talks about a time of harvest when things will be reaped. There will be a time when things will be judged by God, and at that time, fruit is incredibly important. He said branches that don't bear fruit will be cast off and be burnt in the fire. It will be cut down, things that don't bear fruit. You see, Jesus seemed to indicate that even though there were four kinds of soils, right? And this kind of leads to our bottom line. Even though there's four kinds of soils, there's only two kinds of people, right? And not to be all hellfire and brimstone and everything on you, but Jesus explains that this is pretty serious business, right? That the nature of the kingdom is serious business. Either you're in his kingdom or you're not in his kingdom. There may be four kinds of soil, four kinds of different hearts, but in reality there's only two types of people. He talked about that a lot. He always differentiated in between only two kinds. There were never three categories, there was only two. Those that were in the kingdom and those that weren't. Those that bore fruit, those that didn't. Now, in the example of the soils that we've been looking at, the first group of people, those with a hard heart, that seems to be pretty obvious, right? They never accepted the word, it never penetrated, so they're out, right? They're not in the kingdom. The people with the good soil, they obviously are in, okay? So you've got these that are out and these that are in, but what about those in the middle? What about those, the rocky soil folks and the thorny soil folks? Now, most of us would like to think, in fact, I even taught it this way before, that those are just kind of the less mature Christians, right? And eventually they'll come around to it, or even if they don't, you know, then God is good and they're in. But the more and more I think about it, and more I study the scripture, and more I look at what Jesus actually said, not what I wished he would have said, but what he actually said, I kind of get a different picture. Because when he talked about the rocky soil, he said that it withered when the trials came. A withered plant, that's dead, right? And that's not alive, and that's not in the kingdom. Then he said those thorny, the seeds that fell among the thorn, they were choked out. Well, again, that sounds like a dying to me, right? It's choking, it's not alive, it's not producing. And again, Jesus said when things didn't produce fruit, they would be cut down. The Hebrews writer in Hebrews chapter 6 said it this way, land that drinks in the rain, often falling on it, and that produces a crop useful to those to whom it is farmed, receive the blessings of God. So that's the good soil. But land that produces thorns and thistles is worthless and is in danger of being cursed. In the end, it will be burned. Jesus said in Matthew 7, not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord will be saved. It seems to me that Jesus is making this harsher than what we would like to make it. Right? It would be much easier to say, all you got to do is just accept it and accept the seed, and no matter what happens after that, you're good. But I don't really see that's what Jesus is teaching here. To me, it seems like Jesus is teaching if you want to be in the kingdom, that means you have good soil, and that means you accept the teaching, and then things happen as a result of that accepting of the teaching. This morning, just a question to ask. If you're honest, what kind of soil would best represent your heart? Maybe, again, your heart has been hardened. And if that's the case, because of things that people have said to you or negative experiences you've had at church, I would just ask you to consider allowing God to begin to soften your heart. Because, again, Jesus said his kingdom is of ultimate value, and there's only two different paths to be on. If you would identify as rocky soil, you've accepted the word of the kingdom and you've accepted who Jesus is, but you haven't gone any further than that, you're in danger of falling out of the bed because you stayed too close to where you got in, I would encourage you to put down roots, because trials are coming. They just are. And whether, it's a gloom and doom man in the culture or not, just everyday life has enough trials of its own. Okay, trials will come. And I beg you to put down roots, to dig into the Word, to dig into time with God in prayer. Invest in spiritual relationships of people who are further along than you so they can help you down the path. If you identify more with the thorny soil of things that, I've accepted this, but just really, things have crowded it out. There are other things in life that have become more important or squeezed the life out of my Christian walk. And they're all good things. It's family and it's job and it's all kinds of good things, but it's squeezing out the life of what I know is the most important thing. If that's the case, I would encourage you to do a little weeding. Do a little cultivating in your heart. Pull some of those weeds. It's good. They might be good things, but they're not the best thing. So that you can become one of those people that Jesus says has the good soil, that he can produce fruit in your life, so that the kingdom of God can grow in your life and can be reproduced in your life. The world is desperate for life. the world around us is dying. The culture around us is dying. They're looking. 70% of people say, yeah, I acknowledge Jesus. But friends, it doesn't take too harsh of a look to say 70% of people aren't living fruitful lives for God. May we be those people. May we be those people that are living fruitful lives for God in a generation that sorely needs to see what kingdom life looks like. Because Jesus said, I'm throwing the seed out there, but unless you have a heart that is willing to hear and willing to accept, then my seed cannot produce life in you. Would you pray with me? God, thank you so much for the stories that Jesus tells about your kingdom, to help us understand what your kingdom is really like. God, help us to understand the serious nature of things, the reality that there's really only two kinds of people. We're either in your kingdom and headed for life, or we're not in your kingdom. God, help that to just sink within our hearts. God, if there are folks here today whose hearts have been hardened toward you for whatever reason, God, begin to soften that. Help them to allow you to soften their heart just a little bit so the seed might get in there. God, if there are those who need to dig their roots deeper in you, I pray that they would have the courage and make the commitment to do that. God, for those of us, maybe all of us, who need to weed out and cultivate the things that just come, God, that clutter our life, keep us from focusing on you. God, help us to weed that so that you can produce your fruit in our life. God, help us toward that end, even today, in Jesus' name. Amen.